start to the morning, go ahead and get your bulletins or your Bibles. If you got your Bible, Psalm 146, we'll read. It's in your bulletin as well. Brother Frank Jorgensen, I'm going to ask if you would come and be prepared to lead us in prayer to begin the morning. Well, that's all right. That's all right. He may have a little trouble. Brother Dave Rogers, that's who I was going to ask to come on ahead. I saw Brother Frank. I said, let me get Brother Frank up here. But if Brother Dave be prepared, Psalm 146 is where we'll begin and just goes right along with the song that we have heard the choir sing already. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. And we can all say amen to that. Brother Dave Rogers, if you will, come and open us in prayer, please.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come to your house today and worship you, Lord. Lord, we ask that you give us a special blessing on this service, Lord, as Pastor preaches what you've laid on his heart today, Lord, that we would be open and receptive to it. If there be someone that's not saved here, that they will not go out of this place until they've asked you to come into their heart and save them. Lord, we ask that you give us wisdom on this vote that we have to take today, Lord, on the building. And Lord, we ask a special blessing on all our missionaries around the world. Lord, just help them to reach more souls for you, especially with Cassie now. She's on the field, and help her to get settled quickly and get busy in her translation work with this new tribe. Be with us now, for we ask these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, if you'll take your hymn book, we get to sing an all-time favorite this morning. Page 147. Let's stand together and sing, How Great Thou Art. 147.
Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then think my soul, my prayer God be, how great thou art, how great thou art. Sings my soul, then sing my song, my prayer.
Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Now, if there's joy that fills your heart, let it out. Okay? Tell your face you're happy about it. Amen? Amen. And when we get to on the end of that chorus, let her fly. You might be sitting out here and think you're not part of the choir. Yes, you are. You're in part of God's choir. Amen. On the last now.
When Christ shall come,
God bless you and may be seated. Wonderful. I believe that God's pleased when His people lift Him up and praise His name. Listen now as Melinda Rogers plays Wonderful, Merciful Savior.
Well, that's lovely, lovely. Thank you so much, Melinda. And I appreciate that. Good to see you today. Glad you've come. Glad you're here. Had a wonderful time yesterday in Master Club Mania. I guess that's what they call it. It sounds a little different than what it really is. But the kids, we had young men preach and young people told stories. I'm talking about little ones. And acted out stories and sang and played instruments and all that kind of stuff. It was just absolutely marvelous, and I enjoyed it. They're not in here today. They're in Master Club and Children's Church over in Super Church. And it's a good place for them. They enjoy that and profit much by it. And I thank the Lord for the folks who work over there in that place. Today is Sam and Hillary Lavender's last Sunday with us here at the church. I see Hillary over here, and stand up, Hillary. And Sam's in the choir. Sam in the choir. Sam, stand up. Sam. These folks are leaving, going to Southern Illinois. He's taking a position of associate pastor at a church there, and we thank the Lord for them. We've enjoyed having them here. What a blessing it's been this last two or three years, and thank God for them, their involvement in the ministry, and teaching, and singing, and all those kinds of things, and we wish them God's best. Would you give them a good hand, and let them know we'll be praying for them as they go on their way. I'm thrilled about that. If you're visiting with us today, it would certainly be an honor to us if you would fill out this little flap inside the bulletin. If you'd open that up and just fill that out. And what we would love for you to do is we would love for you to bring that by a little reception area we have after service where you'd meet the staff, could ask us any question about the service and about the church and so forth like that. And we're just thrilled that you've come today to be with us. I met some folks over here somewhere from the land, and don't know where they are right now, but they were here earlier, and then I see other folks around. And good to have the Reynolds family visiting with us today down here on the front row. And Adam spoke on Thursday night, did a marvelous job. In fact, as he did so good, I asked him to preach again Sunday night. And so he'll be preaching again tonight, and that'll be good. And we'll say some things about that more in a few moments. Next Sunday, we're going to start giving out the tracts for the various, well, we have Florida State, University of Florida, University of Central Florida, University of Miami. Football schedule on the front. The schedule of their football season, and then it has a gospel presentation in there, and it has the on the back it has, of course, the address of the church, very small there, but that's okay. The important thing is what they get there. I think the thing that gets them is the schedule of the ball teams, and so they'll be available, and you can. It's amazing how people respond to that. And they pick them up. They like that. And you put them out somewhere, they disappear. You replenish them and they disappear. And the people enjoy that. And it's a good opportunity to give the gospel. We'll have those for you next Sunday. And that'll be great. We're going to begin signing up for Southwide. If you'd like to sign up to go to Southwide, we can, I've gotten the information on the hotels and everything like that. If you would like to go, it'll be $200 a person. That will include three nights lodging. It will include the ride up and back and breakfast every day. Okay? And so if you'd like to go, it'll be a good time together. It'll be a fun ride up and a fun ride back. A long lot of fun all the way up and all the way back to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And it'll be a good time together, and you will just enjoy spending the time in fellowship. If you want to stay in a room by yourself, it'll cost you $245. But that's $200 for double if you're staying with someone else. We'll have a good time, a lot of good preaching, and we're going to have a lot of good singing there this year. Again, a lot of good singing. Great congregational singing. We have a congregational song leader this year that's just going to absolutely take it out the top. I'm going to lead the singing this year. I don't know how they talked me into that, but I am. Okay. Because of you, there's someone who is thanking God today. Someone who appreciates your warm and caring way. Someone who's remembering the special things you do and wishing you His blessings every day, the whole year through. Thank you so much for the service. The service was beautiful. The words on this card says it all for me. Thank you again. This is from Modell Varner and the homegoing of her husband. And I want you to continue to pray for her. She was here in Sunday school and just really physically was not able to stay for the morning service. But be much in prayer for her, if you will. Okay, now I'm going to ask the ushers to help me with something. How many of you have a ballot? You have a ballot. Okay, it's been pretty well covered. But guys, if you will, come down front. Now, this is for the members of our church. And this is a church business kind of thing. And so it involves our commitment in a number of ways. Now, someone beside you may have a ballot that looks a little different than the ballot you have. But it all says the same thing, okay? And that's because two of us did the ballots, okay? Okay. But they all say the same thing. One of them has the numbers on it a little more pointedly. If you did not get one, raise your hand. If you didn't get one, raise your hand. And I'm not going to say what I say about November elections. Vote early and often. I'm not going to say that. So if you will, I want you to, everybody have one, everybody's welcome to have one, but it's really the members that vote. The first option on this is to stop the process, delay the building indefinitely. Just sort of walk away from it for right now. That has a lot of ramifications to it because a lot of money has already been given to it. And a number of things would have to happen in order to do that. Option number two is borrow the money and continue now. That's going to entail, as of right now, borrowing $800,000 to $1 million right now. We have, toward the building, we have between $350,000 and $400,000, in the building fund toward the building. That is enough to pay off our current debt. And so the building would be on top of that. Realistically, by the time the building was finished, we would have have that down somewhat. Not a whole lot, but it would be down somewhat under that. And of course, we'd take the $5,000 we're paying toward that building. This building, the mortgage now, our payment's $2,500 a month. We pay about $5,000 a month on the building. And so it would entail borrowing somewhere around $800,000 probably. Things keep being added on that are going to be required for us to do. It just, you know, in order to get the permit. And in order to get the permit, you have to have the money committed to build the building. The loans have been approved by two different banks for around $1.3 million. We would not need that much, but it's been approved for that much. That was their choice, not our choice. That was not what we asked for. That's what the banks said they would do. And we have not, of course, pursued that any further than getting those bids on the money. And then the third option is this, and I would tell you up front, this would be my option, to delay the building right now, but continue raising money toward the building. And whenever we get to a place where we have good peace from the Lord and clearance that we feel within the time of the building of the building, we would raise realistically enough to completely pay or almost completely pay for the building. Then we would pursue it and go quickly toward that. That would be my personal preference, and that would be the one I check. But I want God's leadership in this, and I want that from you. I'm willing for any of the three I'm willing for any of the three. I'm not going to say if you don't do this, don't. I'll just tell you what, right now, I don't want any part of it. I'm not like that at all. Not like that at all about it. Now, there's some things I'd be like that about. If you want to vote to stop preaching the Bible in this church, well then, but you're not going to do that. If you want to vote to stop winning souls and trying to get people saved, you know, but you're not going to do that. And I know that. I trust you never will, either by vote or by action in living. But let's have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to ask you to mark. Just put an X or a check or whatever beside the first, second, or third one, and we're going to pass those in. The usher's going to come down the aisle. You can fold them if you'd like. Fold them one time and just pass them in, or if you want to leave them open. It's either way. You don't have to put your name on it. There's nothing like that. We're not checking anybody out. We're not doing anything like that. We just trust you, okay? We don't really trust you. We trust the Lord. But we trust you too. Father, we all, I think, know the need that we perceive that we have regarding a better situation for classrooms. And yet, Lord, it seems with so many uncertainties that we ought to evaluate this and look at it. Father, I think the people know the uncertainties, they know the situation, they know you, and they know what's best. And so, Lord, I ask for your will in this matter. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. But I pray you'll give us a good spirit of unity, however our personal feelings are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So if you'll do that, fold it up, pass it to the aisle. Ushers, come forward if you will, and you can just pass them to the aisle. Be the quickest way. Just pass them over to the aisle, and those of you on the aisle, drop them in the plate as the usher goes by. I think would be the quickest way to handle that. I cannot announce the next song without making a comment. Jesus paid it all, but it's not talking about the price of the building. Okay. It's a greater debt than that Jesus paid. Our sin debt. But because Jesus paid it all, it is true that all to Him I owe. And so I hope you'll turn once you've passed your ballot in. Turn to number 305. Brother Mark's going to come back and lead us in this grand, grand old song of the faith. Jesus paid it all. Would you stand again? I think it'd be good if you stand. All right.
I hear the Savior say, I pray for the lost, hearts are filled with wanting grace. I need Thee, my all in all. Jesus paid it all. All, 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 all
ushers come forward, if you will. We'll receive our offering today. And if enough money comes in the offering today, pay off the building, we'll burn the ballots. Okay, we'll burn the ballots. Burn the ballots and burn the mortgage all at the same time. All right, okay. Father, you are so good to us. What a wonderful, comfortable place we have to come and sing your songs and hear your word and be together as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a good place you've given us for folks to get saved. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the place that you've given us. Now, I know, Lord, that we make the payments on it, but you provide that. And it's dedicated to you, so it's your place. I thank you, Father, for our missionaries around the world. I pray, Father, that you'll bless them in this day. And some of them have already had service today, and some of them are going to have service later than us. But, Lord, in every place, I pray that your will be done in their lives. Encourage their hearts and bless them. Now, Lord, as we give to you today, I pray we'll give as an act of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. because of that, we can be born into the family of God, His children, forever and ever and ever, days without end. Let's stand together and sing, I'm so glad. I'm a part of the family of God. It's there in your bulletin if you need the words. But let's sing it together now. I'm so glad. I'm a part of the family of God. I'm a lost in the family. To have Frank and Ann Beasley over here. Got their youngest son there with them. And youth director here back in the dark ages. And moved to North Carolina. Good to see them back today. What a delight to have them. And got Fidel back here visiting from Bermuda. Good to have you here with us. And just, I said, how in the world did you find us? He said, GPS. I said, thank God for GPS. I want you to shake hands, greet those around you, welcome one another to the service, meet someone you don't know. An announcement of some kind today.
Well, we have several you need to be attentive to. Basically, some things that we have coming up. Back to school Sunday is coming up in a couple of weeks. Recognize our teachers and say some things about them. Want to make sure we recognize them. Before we get to some others, though, there's a big event coming up in just a few weeks that you've already been registering for. And want to make sure you know everything that's going on. And if you're one of the ladies in our church, you're going to want to be a part of this. So, Mrs. Reynolds. Mrs. That sounds weird. I can't even call her Mrs. Reynolds. She's going to make an announcement about the ladies' event.
She also she's got had a birthday.
It's already passed. Those of you ladies who have forgotten that we're going to have a ladies' gathering September 11th and 12th, you need to get on the ball and get registered. I know you don't want to pay the $15, but you got to eat. We're going to give you a meal on Friday night, a little bit of breakfast Saturday morning, and lunch. Plus, we're going to pay for supplies. We're going to be making some things. And I'm not going to tell you what because it might scare some of you off. I know those of you who wanted to crochet last year, I couldn't get it through my head what it was, but some of you did, and I'm proud of you. But this year, we're going to try something different. Last year, we made bead bracelets, and we did flower arranging and crocheting. And in addition, we had talks about money and talks about child rearing and organization. This year, we're going to have, our theme is going to be Hitherto Hath the Lord Led Us. And we're going to talk about things, how the Lord has led in our life, how we should be grateful the way he has worked, and then we're going to learn some things, and I'm not going to tell you what we're going to learn. Just please, please register, because if I sense that we don't really have a lot of interest, then I'm not going to be interested either, so why have it? And anyway, I want you to get signed up, okay, and pay you $15, and we're going to have a lot of fun September 11th and 12th. Thank you.
I can give you some pointers on that crocheting if you need them. Oh, my God. Let me help you out with that. We'll get together. Don't worry. I'll give you a call. The CMA is a summer drama presentation is coming up at the end of this month as well. So your children will be, that'll be a big night. Looking forward to that. That's a new one for us. So we're looking forward to that. Of course, that following Sunday, Lord's Supper. I want to be here for communion that night. That'll be wonderful as well. Sir, can we help you? Isaac, what are you doing, man? Frozen Fellowship? Frozen Fellowship isn't until next week. What do you have there? Bring that. Let me see though. We could alter our plans, you know, depending on what. You're dripping on the carpet. Miss Doris, you can get him here and look. What do you got here? What kind is it? Oh my goodness. Are you sure we can't do that tonight? It's next week, is that right, Brother Mark? Mmm. That's got a delicate, creamy balance. The texture is consistent. It's got a very unique flavor. It's just a barrage on the senses for its sweetness. A little chocolate sauce dribbled on that. Or just bathed in chocolate sauce, something like that. Some the nuts, the little peanuts in there, and a whipped cream would be, oh man, that is just wonderful. But that's not tonight. Are you sure? It's good. It's really good. Next week is Frozen Fellowship. I'm sorry, Isaac, you went to all that trouble making that ice cream, and now it's just going to go to waste. You'll have to eat it all yourself. Put it back in the carton? It'll be good for next week. Yeah, we'll put it out. Don't worry, we're all healthy. Nobody's. It's not doing you any good. Oh, I'm the one that's going to get it for that, Isaac. Don't worry. All of that to remind you, Frozen Fellowship next week. You're going to want to be here. And by the way, that ice cream was really, really good. And I didn't have any breakfast. I did have a handful of Cheerios. I'm regretting that decision at the moment. So anyhow, we'll be here next Sunday night. Homemade ice cream. It doesn't have to be homemade, but if you have a churn, get it out of the attic, get it out of the side of the garage, clean that thing up, get your best recipe, bring it out, and we will have a great time with Frozen Fellowship next week. I also want to mention this as well. Tonight, as soon as the service is over, Horizons class, they're going to go out and eat at Chili's. I think it's where they're planning to meet. So if you're part of the Horizons, that age group, that college age group, maybe a little bit beyond, you can get together with them. They'll be going to Chili's after the service tonight just to hang out before some of them head off to college or head back to college, depending on what it may be. Last thing I'll say before I'm out of here tonight, Brother Adam will be preaching. Looking forward to hearing him. I was, of course, with our youth on Thursday night, so I wasn't in here for his message on Thursday night. Looking forward to hearing him. But I need to make a special, just a little special announcement about something tonight. We'll be recognizing Brother Adam and the effort he put forth. When we did our Crossroads event this year, it was a unique year, and it called for some different responsibilities for us to take on. And one of those was the complete preparation, purchasing, distribution, care of the food. And when you've got 100 plus people to feed, you know, I guess it's 18 times, that's a lot of meals. That's a lot of mouths. And there's not really any bigger responsibility we have than keep them fed. Obviously, that's part of what you take on. We have things that we want to accomplish, but getting them fed and keeping them safe and housed, they're the baseline things. And to do that well takes a lot of effort. And when the responsibility fell to me, I really was I wasn't real positive about how that was going to be taken care of. And Adam called me one day and said, Aaron, let me take care of that. Let me take that on. His church, his youth group was there. And he said, I think I can network that from here and get that done. He said, I'm not going to do the cooking, but because I don't know that I would have gone for that. But he said, I'll see that it's done. And the job that he did was phenomenal. He called on a lot of people from former years at Camp Maranatha. It was really, It was a unique experience to have so many people that had served, that I had served with, you know, 20 plus years ago, and that he had served with there at Camp Maranatha, and to see them back in action and working as fluidly as ever and doing the job that they did. I did recognize those folks. We showed our gratitude, expressed our appreciation with some gift cards and things to them to say thank you for the job that they did in taking time out to come and help take care of our Crossroads group. But at the time, I did not do anything for Brother Adam. I wanted to get back here. I knew he was coming to town and see if Pastor didn't want to maybe do something a little extra special for him. And so tonight, after the service, at some point during the service, we're going to take a love offering just to say thank you to them for the job that they did. And I'm telling you, the effort that was put forth was amazing. The product, the food that was on the table in the service that put it there was top notch. And if the load had been on me, we would have gotten by. And that's about it, because that's all I would have been able to do at the time with everything else going on. But when he took it on, it went from just getting by to being a positive, a plus. It was an asset to our week. The kids that were there know that. But I thought we ought to express that appreciation tonight. Pastor said, let's do a love offering for him. So anyway, I wanted to say a public thank you to him, to Jessica, and, of course, all of his crew that he put together for that. So anyhow, and I believe they're coming to sing for us right now. So y'all come on ahead. We'll look forward to hearing the Reynolds family.
People leave here and then just start doing all kinds of things after they get gone. Okay.
I've gotten myself into something I did not intend to get into. I've gotten myself into a study on the kings. And I didn't intend to do that when I preached on Abisha. But then I preached two sermons on Asa. And now today I come to King Jehoshaphat. And King Jehoshaphat is in 2 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, isn't it? No, it's 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, 18, 19, and 20. So if I've preached the last few weeks on part of the chapters, one chapter or so, I don't know how long it's going to take me to get through four chapters today. But we've had a good service already, and so you'll put up with me on this, okay? All right. King Jehoshaphat. Chapter 17, 18, 19, 20 of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. And so let's just get into it. 87% vote on number 3 to delay construction, but keep raising money and begin as soon as the Lord gives clearance to do so. So that's 87%. And that would be 13% on the other two. And so that's what we'll do. That's the direction we'll go, and we'll have that settled that direction. I'll notify the banks. I'll notify the architect. I'll notify the site plan. I'll notify the city, and the mayor can consider himself notified right now. And so that'll be good. Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat. We're introduced to him as the son of Asa. Now, he begins reigning when he's 35 years old. He's not a young man, not an old man by any means, but he's not a young man. He reigns for 25 years. He dies at 60 years of age, but he reigns for 25 years. And at 35 years of age, he has witnessed certain things. He has witnessed in his father's life the failure in the end of his life that we looked at last week when God's good people go bad. And that's what happened to Asa. And he watched his daddy die really an untimely and uncomfortable death because he went to the Syrians for his assistance instead of the Lord. And he went to the doctors instead of the Lord. And Jehoshaphat saw that. And whenever he ascended to the throne, in verse 1 it says that he strengthened himself against Israel. Now, when he strengthened himself, it does not imply that he left the Lord out of it, you're going to see. I've entitled chapter 17, A Great Start. A Great Start. If you're writing things down, there's three things in chapter 17 about his great start. He sought, he wrought, and he taught. Sought, wrought, taught. Now, that's not R-O-T. It's W-R-O-U-G-H-T, okay? He wrought. He wrought. He worked. But, you know, as preachers, we got to make it rhyme or something like that, you know? So he sought, he wrought, and he taught. Now, he sought, you foresee in verses 3 and 4, last part of verse 3, he sought not to Balaam, first part of verse 4, he sought the Lord. Now, I cannot say too much about that for us as believers in this day in which we live. We must seek the Lord. Now, it's not that God is not somewhere there. We do not know where He is. But it is that we pursue Him. We seek Him out. Number 2, His works. He wrought. In verse 1, he strengthened himself against Israel. In verse 2, he reinforced the gains of his father. Now, his father had done certain things in the cities of Judah. He had even advanced into the northern kingdom, and people from the northern kingdom were coming back to the southern kingdom, back to worship God in Jerusalem, into the area of Ephraim. He enhanced that, and he reinforced that. And number 6, he did something that his father did not do. In verse 6, it says that he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. He took away these places that had kind of been, in all the efforts of Asa that he did, these things had kind of been tolerated and overlooked. But Jehoshaphat said, I am going to pursue this. I'm going to get rid of these idols and these places of idol worship. I'm going to get rid of these things. I'm going to take care of that, get rid of it. And whenever that happened, round about, the peoples round about heard what was going on in the nation of Judah. And the people began to fear him, not because of his military might, but because of God's presence with him. Now that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Whenever God does that for his people, that God lets other people know, I'm on their side, they're on my side, and I'm going to take care of them. What a wonderful truth. There's evidence right here. And then he did something that's kind of unique in the Old Testament scriptures, though it was somewhat under the time of Judges. He brings this thing to bear in the ministry of Jehoshaphat. It's interesting what he does. And in verses 7 through 9, it talks about him taking of the princes, those who were high officials in his government, perhaps even his children. And he sends them out into all parts of the country. And he sends Levites out into all parts of the country. And in verse 7, the last phrase of verse 7 says, to teach in the cities of Judah. Now, they didn't teach reading, writing, arithmetic. They didn't teach that. They taught the law of God. They taught the Word of God. In verse 9, they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. It was a marvelous thing that he did. It was a wonderful idea that he had. Seemed to be a God-given idea that he sends into all of Judah. Something that normally the people came to Jerusalem and got their teaching. The fathers taught in the homes, but there was not really that kind of teaching in the cities. They didn't have a church on every corner like we do. They didn't have that. And Jehoshaphat said, they need to know the book. They did not have a book they could carry with them. They didn't have a book that was in their home. They didn't have a book that was in the car. And whenever you get home on Sunday afternoon, just leave it in the car because we're going next Sunday. They didn't have that. They did not have that ability to do that. And so they made copies. They made copies of the law of God. And he sends them out into the cities to teach the Word of God. I love it. It's absolutely beautiful. It's a wonderful thing he did. Now, that's a great start. We come to chapter 18. See how quickly we're moving? We come to chapter 18. And in chapter 18, he makes a dumb move. Even good people do dumb things. Smart people do dumb things. Spiritual people sometimes do dumb things. And look what he did in verse 1. He had riches and honor in abundance and for whatever dumb reason, he joins an affinity with Ahab. Ahab, of all people, Ahab, married to Jezebel. One of the worst couples ever to sit on the throne of Israel. Ahab, here he is, a good man who has learned from his dad good things and has profited from God's working in his dad's life. And now he goes and joins himself to what in verse 1 of chapter 17 he had strengthened himself against. Now he joins an affinity with that one that he strengthened himself against. How dumb is that? Now, I don't know what his motive was. Obviously, from my perspective, he would have had a good motive. Maybe he was trying to make up with the family. You know, they are all God's people, though the northern tribes have rebelled against God, and the southern tribes are true to God. Maybe he's trying to make up for his dad going to the Syrians against the northern tribes. I don't know. Maybe he had an idea of maybe now that I'm strong and I've increased in power and God has blessed me, maybe I can bring this thing back together. Maybe I can bring the nation back together. That may have been his motives, but it wasn't what God told him to do. God didn't give him that instructions. Sometimes we think things are good things, but they're not God's will. Now, most people would have said, if that were his motive, most people would say, well, that's a good thing. Let's get the nation back together. So, well, but you don't get back together with people that are against God.
Amen.
You don't do that. There's not a unity there. The unity is in Christ. The only unity we have is in Him, and outside of Him, there is no unity.
Amen.
So I do not know what his motive was. It was perhaps a good motive. I don't know. But he made an unwise agreement. Now, whenever he goes down, he takes people down. He takes warriors down there talking with Ahab. And certainly Ahab was a congenial kind of guy. And here they are there. One's in the southern tribe. One's in the northern tribe. One's godly. One's ungodly. But they're talking together. And they're enjoying each other's company. And whenever they're talking together, Ahab says, you know, Ramoth Gilead is over here. And Syria comes back into play. Syria has taken Ramoth Gilead. And it's our property. We ought to go get it. And now Ahab begins talking with him as if they are one because they've joined an affinity together. They have made a compact together. And Jehoshaphat says this. He said, I am as thou art. My people are your people. And your enemies are my enemies. Ahab was the enemy of God.
Yep.
Now, I'm all for getting along.
Yep.
But if we're going to get along as believers, we've got to have fellowship with others of like kind.
Amen.
I don't think I'm better than anybody else. I've just simply got to obey what God has for me to do. I've got to be surrendered to God. But he said, I'm as you. We are one. We're in this thing together. And whenever he says that, now see if this makes sense to you. We don't have time to read all of it. I'm going to tell you the story. It won't take as long as it does to read it. Ahab says to him, now here's what we need to do. You wear your kingly garments in the battle, and I'm going to disguise myself till I don't look like a king. And the king of Syria has said to his soldiers, don't fight with anybody, great or small. I want the king. That's the one I want. He's the only one I want. I want the king. So Ahab says to him, he says to Jehoshaphat, you dress like the king. I'll just dress like a common, ordinary soldier. I'll disguise myself. In other words, you wear the bullseye. And he did it. He did it. I mean, they call in prophets. Jehoshaphat says to Ahab, don't you think we ought to seek the mind of God about this? And so are the prophets around. And so he brings in prophets. But they're prophets that are not the prophets of God. They do not seek to God. And Jehoshaphat knows that. And Jehoshaphat says, don't you have a prophet of God? And so they call in a guy named Micaiah. And they call him in. And he says, I don't want to call him in because he always prophesies against me. And so Micaiah comes in and he says, prophesy about Ramoth Gilead. Should we go up? Ahab says to him. He says, sure, go on. It'll be okay. He said, I tell you, tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. He knew he was mocking him. He said, you go up to Ramoth Gilead, it's going to be the end of you in the war, and you're going to lose the war. And then Ahab said, didn't I tell you he's always like that? He's always against me. He's always against me. He said, go take him and lock him up until I come again in peace. He said, if you put me in jail until you come in peace, I'm going to die in jail. Because you're not coming back, big boy. He said, if you come back, I'm not a prophet of God. So they go. Why are you going to ask a word from the Lord if you're not going to profit by the word of the Lord? Now here's the unexpected outcome. The unexpected outcome is they center on Jehoshaphat. And whenever Jehoshaphat sees everybody coming against him, he begins to cry out. And somebody says, that's not the king of Israel. That's the king of Judah. We don't want him. And they don't know where the king of Israel is. And a fella on a venture draws a bow and lets fly an arrow without aiming it at anyone. Just at a venture. He shoots an arrow. And it hits Ahab. The guy who didn't have the target on him. It hits him in the back, in the gap where the harness of his shield and armor, where it comes together, it hits in that one unprotected spot. And they managed to stand him up in the chariot until the evening. And in the evening, as the sun's going down in verse 34, the last verse of chapter 18, and the battle increased that day, howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the even. And about the time of the sun going down, he died. Ahab died. A bow drawn at a venture. And God said, guidance system. Boom. Smart bomb. Smart error. My son-in-law was describing the guidance system on these missiles or whatever in the Gulf War. He was describing that to our daughter
as he was home. He said they can do that thing so a person can be in Miami and shoot one of those things and it'll hit a Winnebago in Washington, D.C. And my daughter said, why would they want to shoot a Winnebago in Washington, D.C.? She was innocent in that, but it was not a pleasant evening after that. Dumb move. But it's not over yet. Jehoshaphat goes home. He goes back to Jerusalem, and he goes back to Jerusalem in peace, as you come to chapter 19. He returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. Now here comes a man named Jehu. I don't know how much you remember about last week, but Hanani was the prophet, the seer. This is his son. Jehoshaphat is Asa's son. Hanani had confronted Asa about his sin of joining with the Syrians. And whenever Hanani confronted him, Asa got mad and said, lock him up. I don't want to hear anything about it. Who is he to say that I've done something wrong? Whenever Jehu comes out, now there's multiple people in the Bible named Jehu. But when Jehu comes out as the son of Hanani, he says to him, he went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, look in verse 2 if you have your Bible open, chapter 19. Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Is it a right thing for you to do? Now this is a profound statement in an obscure passage of the Word of God. Is it right for you to help the ungodly and to love those that hate the Lord? Is that a right thing to do? Well, of course that's not a right thing to do. Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thy heart to seek God. And somehow, here in this situation, God gives Jehoshaphat a second chance. I'm glad that God is the God of the second chance. He watched his daddy rebel against the word of the Lord. He watched his daddy, when Jehu's dad came to him and said, you've done wrong. You sinned against God. And Asa got mad and said, lock him up. Lock him up. Put him away. He watched his dad do that. And whenever Hanani's son came out and pointed a finger at him and said, why do you help the ungodly? And why do you love those that hate the Lord? Jehoshaphat didn't respond the same way. Jehoshaphat humbled himself before the Lord. Jehoshaphat said, see, we don't have these words here, but I'm going to show you some words in just a minute that evidence that is exactly what he said. He said, I did wrong. I did a wrong thing. It's what I thought was best to do, perhaps. Perhaps it's a thing I thought would be good to do, a thing that should be done. But I did a wrong thing. And he took care of that. He took care of that. His response to that was not as his daddy's response. And in verses 4 through 11, Jehoshaphat dwelt in Jerusalem. And look what he did. He went out again through the people of from Beersheba in the south to Mount Ephraim in the north and brought
them back to the Lord God of their fathers. One of the most profound verses you'll come across. Now, in chapter 17, whenever he was teaching the people, he sent the princes and he sent the Levites with the word of God. And he sent them out all through all Judea. But whenever he came back after making a dumb decision against God and going against God, going his own way against God, he came back and he said, I'm not sending other people to do it. I'm going to get out there and do it myself. And he personally took it upon himself to go from Beersheba in the south to Mount Ephraim, even into the northern kingdom, even into enemy territory. And he went and taught the word of God and brought them back to the Lord. What a marvelous example. Where are you in all this? Have you been through a failure in your life? Have you done something that perhaps you thought was, this would be a good thing to do. I've come this far and I've accomplished this much. I think I ought to do this. This is what I ought to do. And gone out on your own and gone your own direction and gone beyond that God intended for you to do and struck an alliance with the ungodly. I'm not talking about having an impact on the ungodly. I'm talking about striking an alliance with the ungodly and become the friend of those that hate God. You need to be careful where you find your fellowship. You need to be careful where you find your fun. You need to be careful where you find your enjoyment. You need to come back from that and hear the word of the Lord that says, is it right? Is it right that you should help the ungodly? Now, I'm not talking about fixing somebody's tire on the side of the road. I'm not talking about somebody's broken a leg, help them mow your yard. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about helping them advance in their purpose. In their purpose in life. That's what Scripture is talking about here. It's not talking about being kind, being nice. It's not talking about, well, I don't like you, you're not a member of my church. It's not talking about that kind of stuff. He said, you love those that hate God. He said, I have. I've been wrong. It's time for me to say I've done wrong. One of the great verses of the Bible. He went out again through the people from Beersheba unto Mount Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. Now, there's no evidence anywhere in this that he stopped the teachers from going around. They still did that. But he took that upon himself. And then he sets judges. He puts good people, godly people, in charge over God's people. He does that. It's an amazing thing that is accomplished here. And whenever you come to chapter 20, that's the last chapter. You have the battle of a lifetime. The battle of a lifetime. In verses 1 and 2, you have the battle presented. Here are the Moabites and the Amorites. And you have the people from Mount Seir. And they are coming and they're gathered together. Really to a place called En Gedi. If you've been to Israel, you know it well. Down beside the Dead Sea. That place where David hid himself. That place where he hid from Saul. That fountain in the desert, that stream in the desert. Now I want you to notice not only the battle presented, but I want you to see the king's preparation in verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. He got back where he used to be. Got back where he used to be. And look in the last part of verse 4. They came to seek the Lord. And what he sought to accomplish in chapter 19 verse 4, is accomplished in chapter 20, verse 4. They came to seek the Lord. And what he came, he prepared himself, he sought the Lord, and in verses 3 and 4, he proclaimed a fast. He said, we're not going to eat, we're going to ask God's help in this, and they asked God's help, and they all together sought the Lord. Now, I come very quickly to the fourth thing that happened in verses 6 through 12. You find the king's prayer in verses 6 through 12. Oh, here's his public prayer. His public prayer. In the prayer, you have his argument for Judah. He said, God, we belong to you. We're your people. You have led us out. You have brought us into this land. We're in the place. You are our God. You are our God. You drove out the inhabitants of the land. We dwell here. We've established your sanctuary here. Lord, this is yours and we are yours. The first three verses, verses 6, 7, 8, 9, 4 verses, excuse me. Then his argument against the enemy. He said, now Lord, these people, when you brought us out of Egypt and that we were coming through their territory, they were not kind to us. They did not treat us neighborly. They were not good to us, but we did not fight against them. And now they have come. We're in the place you have put us, and they were treated us badly, and now they come to fight against us. And now, he says in verse 12, O God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. Now, he says we have no might against this great company. But if you read back in chapter 19, the numbers, they're a pretty big army. But he said, we're not dependent on our numbers. We're not dependent on our numbers. We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Isn't that amazing? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. But look what he says at the very end of his prayer. He says, our eyes are upon thee. Now you can just underline that right there. Our eyes are upon thee. This is the man who's done something dumb earlier. But he's smartened up right here. Our eyes are upon thee. Now, I've hastened very quickly. There's a prophet of the Lord speaks and encourages him. He encourages him. He says, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And he said, the Lord will be with you. And it's amazing. Here in verse 17 of chapter 20, he says, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. The same thing that is said to Moses and the children of Israel at the Red Sea. Whenever army of Egypt behind them, mountain on this side, mountain on this side, Red Sea in front of him. And Moses said, I don't know what to do. God said, stand still. Stand still. Sometimes the hardest thing to do, stand still. Hardest thing for me to do right here, stand still. That's the hardest thing for me to do. I want to say, bless God, let's go, whatever. Hardest thing for me to do is stand still. He said, stand still and see what God has for you. Now, I want you to see the king's strategy. Boy, this is a good battle strategy right here. The battle strategy. Look at verses 20 and 21. And this has got to be the end because we're coming to the end of the chapter. Okay. We're coming to the end of the chapter. Look at verses 20 and 21. They rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, same place Amos was from, the prophet Amos in the Word of God. And they went forth. Jehoshaphat stood and said, here, going to give the battle plan now. He said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed, what's the next word? Singers? unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. It was probably a little better than that. But here's the army. Believe. Believe God. Choir, come up here. Not now, but choir, come up here. Here's the army. You get out in front of the army. Okay. What are we going to do? Sing. Do what you do best. Sing. Now here's the battle strategy. Believe and sing. Now, that's some battle strategy, isn't it? Believe and sing. Believe and sing. Believe and sing. I don't know how far to go. Let's go to verse 24. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And that's God's victory. Let's stand together. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Believe and sing. Okay, here we go. Let's go to battle. Whenever they get out there. All right, here we are. Here's where they're lined up. Here's the army. Where are they? They're all dead. They're all dead. And it took them 4 days to collect all the spoils from the armies that had assembled against them. And they marched back to Jerusalem singing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath. What a time! What a time! What a time! Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I'm glad You're the God of the second chance. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Anybody here say, preacher, I need a second chance. Just raise your hand. I need a second chance. I need a second chance. God bless you. God bless you. All over the building. I need a second chance. I'm glad God's a God of the second chance. If you'd like, just move from your place. Somebody will meet you down here and pray with you and pray for you and help you establish that second chance. If you'd like to come, you can come right now. I'm going to go on praying in a minute. But if you'd like to come, I urge you to come right now. Right now, Janice, if you would, help this young lady right over here. Right now. Right now's the time. Now's the time. Father, all of us are thankful for a second chance. And I know, Father, here there are others today that need to claim that second chance. Father, I pray that we'll go in victory. That, Father, we'll experience that You have for us. That we'll just not let others do our work for us, but we'll do our work that You've given to us. May we not join unholy alliances. But I pray, Father, that we'll live purely and truly for You. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I invite you to come today and receive Him as your own Savior. The one who loved you, died for you, was buried and rose again so that He could give you everlasting life.
I invite you to come. If you're here and you've never received believer's baptism, but you need to do that, I invite you to come. If you're here, you need to come and join in fellowship with this church. I invite you to come. I invite you to come. And if you're here and you say, I need to drive down a stake right here today and say, this is the day that I'm going to begin to follow and seek the Lord the way I did at one time. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. God's spoken to your heart. This is your time. You come. We wait a moment. We wait a moment. As God speaks to your heart. Is this your time? Is this your time? I am the clay. Father, I thank you today that you can take us as long as we're submissive to you and do miraculous things with us, through us, and sometimes, Lord, even as the victory we've looked at today, you just do things for us, not just through us. But you do things for us. I thank you for that. And I thank you for this time together. I thank you for the collective wisdom of your body and the direction you have given today. I pray you'll give 100% peace about this. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that we will find and follow your perfect plan from this point. In Jesus' name. Amen. Some are being prayed with and dealt with. I hope you'll be back tonight. I hope you'll be here. No frozen fellowship tonight. But get your ice cream together for next Sunday night. Okay? And go in victory and God's blessing upon you. Anything else that needs to be said? All right. God bless you. You're dismissed. That's where the light is, right there. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. This is kind of getting to be normal for me to come say hey to you. And not just hey, but goodbye. I'm glad you've joined us today. We've enjoyed the service here in the auditorium. Wish you could have been here with us, but I'm glad you're watching there. And I hope you'll join us again tonight. It's a great day whenever the Lord gives His mind and gives His leadership. And I know the thing we voted on today here at the church does not really affect you.
but it does affect our advancement here in this place, which strengthens us enables us to be able to minister to you. So again, I thank you for joining us. If you care to give toward the building, even though it would not be something that you would use, it would be something that contributes to the ministry here. And if you want to be part of that, why, we encourage you to do that and to go to that icon on there. It says give by whatever it is, give by the internet, pay by PayPal or credit cards or whatever they do, all that kind of stuff. I've done that, but I don't know what the terms are. And so online giving, I think that's it, online giving. And so that'd be great. But I'm so glad you've been with us. If you checked in today, we're glad you did that. If not, you'd like to do that, we'd love to hear from you. Any way we can be a blessing to you. As I say once in a while, if you need a Bible that matches our Bible, which is a King James Version, an authorized version, if you would like to have one and do not have one, we'd be glad to send you one. Or if you'd like to have a hymn book from our church, you let us know. We'll send you a hymn book so you can sing along with us. But I thank you for being with us and trust that you'll just be part of us every time you can. And if you're ever in the area, come by and see us. God bless you now.